You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news, sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
All right, welcome again to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. I'm your host. You are listening to a point counterpoint program called Black on Black Crime. This is your first time here. I want to say welcome, and for those who are regulars, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. On this program, Ebony Magazine versus actress Stacey Dash, and we have Sony Pictures versus Black Hollywood, a movie review of The Top Five starring Chris Rock and Rosario Dawson, and we also will play a clip of Chris Rock talking about race and respect. And also, for the first time in Black on Black Crime history, we have someone who is, in one of our other segments, is going to be on Uncle Ruckus Watch. That's Stacey Dash. Not only are we checking to see if she committed a Black on Black Crime doing Ebony Magazine or if they committed a Black on Black Crime on her, Stacey Dash is on Uncle Ruckus Watch, so we're going to talk about her. We have the world of news and entertainment and more. So I want to remind you, you listen to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can send your comments to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. Don't forget to join our webpage at BOBC Show on Facebook. All right. Now, if you missed last week's show, by the way, last week's show we had Black Sororities versus Black Fraternities, Spelman College versus the Cosbys, and the discussion about Sony's leaked emails and Black Hollywood. So now we discussed it, and now this week it is Sony Pictures with some more leaked emails talking about Black Hollywood. So we'll talk about that. And we had Heartbeat Props last week with comedy legend Richard Pryor. So we played some interesting clips from Richard Pryor last week. But if you want to check that out in the archives, just go to espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com and check it out in the archives. Again, I want to welcome you on to the show. We usually start the show with some news to get you up to date before we really get into the program and to give everybody a chance to settle in. You know, with Finesse, I know Kai is going to be around, so let's give those guys a moment to come in. So I'm just going to catch you up to date with some news stories that happened since the beginning of the week. We can catch up on some news. President Barack Obama moved forward to prevent U.S. anger at North Korea from spiraling out of control by saying that the massive hacking of Sony Pictures was not an act of war. Instead, it was a cyber vandalism. So since everyone's wanting to go to war over this and mad at North Korea, they don't really know if North Korea did it. Anyway, just to keep your energy down, the president said it's cyber vandalism, if anything, but it was not an act of war, so we're not going to war for that. And plus, Sony is a Japanese company. It's not a U.S. company, so we probably shouldn't be going to war over capitalism anyway. Now, China said that it opposed all forms of cyber attacks, but there was no proof that North Korea was responsible for the hacking of Sony Pictures. So China actually came out and is saying, hey, you can't take any shots at North Korea for this because they're still not that sure. They're saying it's somebody connected to somebody who might be a relative, cousin, aunt, brother of somebody else who might be North Korean. I think that's pretty much how that goes. Now, the new Eastern Airlines has welcomed its first aircraft in its fleet on Friday. The Boeing 737-800 was greeted with a water cannon salute when it landed at Miami International Airport. Now, the original Eastern went out of business in 1991, but a group of airline managers acquired the intellectual properties in 2001, and the airlines, which will initially operate as a charter, expects to start flying in the second quarter of 2015. So Eastern Airlines is back. You can hopefully go back on and get your wings back, because that's what I did when I was little. So Eastern Airlines is back in business. Now, boxing great Muhammad Ali was hospitalized with a mild case of pneumonia that was caught early and should result in a short hospital stay. Now, his recovery has been good, his today's update, but it happened on Saturday night. The three-time world heavyweight champion, who is battling Parkinson's disease, is being treated by his team of doctors and was in stable condition, but he's doing better now. Ali appeared in public in September at a ceremony in his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, for the Muhammad Ali Humanitarian Award. Ali did not speak to the crowd, but posted photos with award winners, including NFL great Jim Brown, and Brown leaned over and whispered to the seated Ali during a photo session. He later said, this is Brown saying what he told Ali, that you're the greatest of all time. So Muhammad Ali is doing better after his bout with pneumonia, so he's in better condition today. And also I want to say about that, we did a story recently. Muhammad Ali was at a football game with his grandson, and Snoop's son play on the same team. So Muhammad Ali is getting out and about, but he's apparently doing better. So Lowell Stewart, 95, a former Tuskegee Airman who flew nearly 200 missions in Europe during World War II, he passed away last week. He died of natural causes, said his son. Now, in 1944, he was assigned to Italy with the 100th Fighter Squadron, the all-black unit. He completed 96 missions. He was ultimately awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross, is what reports say. So just wanted to make sure I start off the show, give you a little history while we're, you know, getting started in the show, along with other news. Now, Florida State cleared football star Jameis Winston of any wrongdoings in the sexual assault case after student code of conduct hearings. Now, the former Florida Supreme Court judge, Major Harding, wrote in a letter to Winston that the evidence was insufficient to satisfy the burden of proof. Pretty much, he just tried to say we treat it like everything else. And he didn't find anything. Now, comedian Stephen Colbert had his final episode last week of his Comedy Central, The Colbert Report. Now, I have to say, and I know I've said this before, between Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, that's the only place you actually get pretty accurate news, which is sad for the regular news stations, but they did such a good job. He's definitely probably going to be missed. For me, it's always good to hear Stephen Colbert. He's doing The Late Show after David Letterman retires in March, I think that is. So Stephen Colbert will be going to CBS. I want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in. Our dial-in number is 909-265-9189. If you're on the line, I just want to say welcome to the show. If you're in the chat or you see the chat room open, hey, I'll be in there in a second, but just want to make sure that we got the show off and running and rolling, as we say, just to get everybody up to speed on what's going on in the world and give you an opportunity to take a breath before we go into our topic. Now, our main topic on today's program is Ebony Magazine versus Stacey Dash. You know, Stacey Dash, the Clueless actress, or the actress from Clueless, however you want to say that, is a Fox News contributor. We also have Sony Pictures versus Black Hollywood. We also have Finesse coming in. He's going to give us a review of the Chris Rock movie Top 5, which is in theaters now, but Top 5 starring Rosario Dawson and Chris Rock. He's going to review it, and we have a clip from Chris Rock that we'll play after Finesse does the review of the movie. First time in Black on Black Crime history, Stacey Dash has made Uncle Ruckus watch on the same program that we're checking to see if someone committed black on black crime against her. See how balanced we are? 106 in Park, BET had its final episode last week. Now, I didn't see it. I'm sure Finesse is probably going to talk about this at some point, but the live two-hour finale took a look back at the history of 106 in Park, along with a few of their most notable guests, showcasing what they said was the best in entertainment from the Hollywood A-list and music's top recording artists. From First Lady Michelle Obama and President Barack Obama, they just pretty much played a bunch of clips. I don't know if they're replaying this, but they probably will. The past hosts on 106 and Park were also there, including the original host AJ and Free, who was there between 2000 and 2005. Big Tigga and Jaleesa was from 2005 to 2006. But anyway, the show was launched on September 11, 2000. But 106 and Park has done their final bid on the air. But before I get to that, let's bring in Finesse. What's going on, Finesse? And I really want to know what you thought about that.
I didn't even know 106 and Park is over with?
Oh, man, you didn't know that? See, I thought you would have something on this. But, yes, 106 and Park last week had a two-hour finale on Friday. And they brought back AJ and Free actually hosted the final show. And
that was once AJ and Free left, it was over for me.
I was trying to think. Now, okay, so you had AJ and Free, Tigga and Jaleesa, and then Terrence J and Roxy. And so I tried to think about when I remember it, but I'm going to say AJ and Free. So 2005.
Well, I watched it when Jaleesa was on. I watched it when Jaleesa was on because I knew Jaleesa. And Tig was brought in. Was he before AJ and Free? Was he after? Because I know he was doing Rap City the Basement.
Right, but he and Jaleesa came on it together from 2005 to 2006 is what they're saying. So she must have came on first, and then they brought him on with her.
See, I didn't hear that, and I didn't get that email about them canceling 106 and Park, but I knew it was going to be a matter of time.
I guess it was still energetic, wasn't it?
It was still getting high numbers. As a matter of fact, it was getting such high numbers. Remember, they're the reason why Carson Daly's show went off. Remember, he was doing a countdown on MTV, and Viacom owns both. And 106 and Park was still killing them in the ratings.
Right.
106 and Park, it evolved like Soul Train. You know, it was something for the generations. For us, the older ones, when Free and AJ left, and remember they left because of contract disputes, the majority of us left. And then they had to bring in Tig. I thought Jaleesa was good. But there was somebody else hosting with Jaleesa because Tigger didn't stay long. There was somebody else that hosted with Jaleesa.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were there only a year. That seems kind of strange. 1 year for those two? And they're the ones I remember the most after AJ and Free.
I think because I don't want to get inside of the BET head, but I think because they didn't have drama. AJ and Free were big thinkers, and they brought a lot of stuff to the table, to the show. Not just about music, but education. They addressed issues. Tigga and Jaleesa was like, they were good, but Tigga's thing was still Rap City, the Basement. Jaleesa was like, I want to be taken serious. I don't think BET really gave her a shot like they should. Because remember, at one point, they kept trying to three host. They even did that with Shad, a.k.a. Bow Wow. And since we're talking about Bow Wow, so I guess now that he's out of a job, he'll be on Love & Hip Hop with his girl, Erica Minnick. But, yeah, 106 and Park is still a staple. We may not understand it because we just think it's gone down a hill from when it first aired to what it is now. But it's still, there's still kids that love the show. And I just don't understand what BET is doing. I really don't. But again, BET, folks, is not run by, they just have a black president. I know Stephen Hill just got promoted. Congrats to Stephen Hill. But
did he?
Viacom has the last word.
Yeah, it is something about when you sell your company out to the majority, they start making decisions on what is hot in minority communities, and that is not cool. And I'm being nice. Black people in particular, forget minority communities. What they do is they try to tell black people what's hot, and it never works. Then they end up canceling everything. So we know what happened with In Living Color as a TV show, right? They wanted Jim Carrey to have more lines.
Mm-hmm.
Kenan left, which he said I probably shouldn't have done, but their writing sucked after that. They were forcing it. It's funny that, later on in the show, I'm going to play, after you do your review of Top 5, a clip from Chris Rock. And Chris Rock kind of talks about that, where he talks about racism and talks about some of his idols in the business. But it's funny like, we don't get to be ordinary at any given point with white folks because we'll get canceled from being just like them. You can't be mediocre and keep a job.
And that's the thing, and that's in everyday life. We always have to be a step above. You know, we've always been looking over our shoulders. We've always, and I know we've had these conversations before as far as media, we got to be better. We got to be, we don't get days off. We can't be mediocre.
Right.
Because when we do, then it's a wrap. And to see some of our media outlets just be mediocre or just be buffoonish, there's a time, and I'm not saying that any of us are not into buffoonish. We do. We love a good laugh, a good comedy. But when it's constant, it's everything that we do because we feel that's what they want us to be, then it takes away from anything that we're doing. And it's just sad that it's like that. There was some other sad news in media I just heard. Some other magazine just shut down.
Really?
And it's sad. We've had 2014, Sister to Sister, Source, Vibe, Jet, Ebony. Now, a couple of those say they're going to be online, but those are the kind of magazine that is more than just being online. I don't want to see the Jet Beauty online. I can't fold up my laptop and look at Jet Beauty.
You can't put it on the wall no more.
Right, I can't put it on the wall no more. So, but we need those things to be in our house. And it's very interesting. I was in a Walgreens, which was in the hood, and I looked at the magazine rack, and I couldn't get my camera phone to work because I was going to take a picture. There was only one black magazine on the shelf, and that's not really black, but it had the majority blacks, and that was Slam Basketball Magazine. Not one other black owned magazine was on the shelf.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's sad.
You have these big corporations buying these black companies and then shutting them down.
Yeah. Now, we don't see that. We sell to them because we always about the money, but you can't be about the money because it's our legacy. Where else can we go to find out more about us? And to see that with no black magazines on the shelf, that's disheartening.
Right. But, you know, the thing I see just from as a business aspect is that I don't think white folks get this, but black folks, black magazines will always have a space in black culture. Because I can tell you every time I'm at the barbershop, I will still pick up a magazine. I'm sure black women at the beauty shop pick up magazines. There's just whoever figures out how to hit the market that they want to hit is going to kill it. But since they can't see, like, the home subscription rate high, I don't think that they figured, hey, one, we just go to black businesses because we always in black businesses like to sit up. Whether we're ordering food at the takeout spot, you want to see those magazines.
Mm-hmm. You know,
people
what
sitting
I did
at the dentist office. Or,
and what I did yesterday, just be in line with that, even though at the newspaper we get subscription to Black Enterprise, I said I had to have my own subscription, and even though it's going to come to the Baltimore Times, I needed my own subscription in my name to show support for that magazine, and I think that's what we have to do. And I there was two magazines at that place. I forgot, Black Hair or Hair. I think, yeah, it's called Black
Hair.
That magazine never sell out. Yeah, they'll never sell out to some company because they do great business. And I don't know, we look, our business model and our marketing and promotions is not the same as white products. So if your magazine, you're basing it on subscription, we don't do that. You got to have it in the store. So why not break it down and get into small stores? Maybe you might not be able to print as much. Your distribution may not be high, but you'll make money by putting them in the store. You just can't say, oh, well, we going off subscription. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
It just doesn't.
And we always have to keep reminding ourselves that black people generally, we create models. We create the paradigm. Mm-hmm. So when white folks take over stuff, they're doing it by the way that they believe that everybody else does it, and somebody comes in and just clips them. Be the one that clips all of them. Because you'll never – it's almost like I had a conversation with a student. I would say her name, but I'll – save it for when because of what I'm about to say. I don't want her taking any heat for it. But I went with a friend of mine to pick up his daughter from school. And one of the things that we talked about, and she has great parents who said, yes, we would be thrilled if you got a degree. But that's not necessarily what you're here for. If you figure out what you need to do prior to that, you go on that path. You can get your degree.
Right.
But they're not even that strenuous to do that because they realize Bill Gates dropped out as a freshman, Michael Dell dropped out as a sophomore. People who don't decide to work for somebody else don't use degrees. So depending on what your major is, what you're doing, and especially people in the music business, she's a music major. They were like, music majors, most of the people who you're mocking never even went to school. So who's teaching you? You know what I mean?
And that's funny because when I finished at a two-year school, the great Onondaga Community College, everyone said to me, oh, you got to continue on at Syracuse University. I got there and it wasted time. And not only wasted time, I'm still paying for my goddamn student loans. And I learned more at a two-year school. Yeah, I learned more at the two-year school and had more than the kids at Syracuse. I had so much experience that even now I forget sometimes on what I'm putting on my resume. So, it is a journey. It's your journey. And school is not that, college is business anyway. It's big business now anyway. It ain't like when we were growing up or the people before us. Now it's just business. It ain't even about you getting an education.
You're networking your way through them. You know, I can't remember this story I read earlier. Today was about Gwyneth Paltrow, I think it was. She was trying to write a column for Time, and I can't remember. It was about home health stuff. And the person who runs the CEO said that it wouldn't hire her because she didn't graduate from college. I thought that was hilarious. Like, they always sell celebrities to people, celebrity anything to somebody. And this woman said, no, they didn't have a degree. And I said, that's just stupid and dumb.
Yeah, it
but anyway, that's... Hey, all right. I'm sorry because you know what's going to happen. Luckily, we don't have the people on here that is bougie enough to come yell at us about the fact that education is the key nonsense. And speaking of that, I know you're going to talk about Top 5, but whenever we talk about that movie Selma, I have to tell you what disturbs me about these press junkets that Oprah and those guys are doing. Matter of fact, I'll tell you right now. You know, they're going around hawking the movie Selma, right? And, you know, that was probably around 64-ish for Martin Luther King. He was young when he did Selma. So what's going on with what happened in Ferguson, what happened in New York and in Ohio and Cleveland and the kid who got shot in the park in Ohio? What disturbs me is that we still have Oprah and all of those fools going out here. And I don't mean to call her a fool because I have a lot of respect for her. But this is foolish, Oprah, to go out and say, we need to learn from Martin Luther King to keep the same type of energy in the struggle today. And I want to remind you, because I constantly remind people of the same thing. Martin Luther King in 63, 64, and 65 was very different than Martin Luther King in 68. He had
to grow up
and he got smarter. And what he said in 68 is we need to go to a more aggressive nonviolence. These people aren't going to learn. We have to take the women and children on a struggle. He was tired of them getting dogs on them and all of that other stuff. But these folks keep showing 63 and 64, Martin, and trying to get everybody to be passive. And that is not what Martin said. That disturbs me beyond belief. But
And if the people really understood, Martin and Malcolm were going to get together. Yeah, and how they were how there were things that Martin saw why Malcolm was the way that he was, and Malcolm saw the things that that Martin was doing, and say, you know what, we could fit these together. So they fit those. They were getting ready to come together to put on something bigger, where it would still be nonviolent, but at the same time, if you put your hands on us, then we're gonna have to retaliate type of mission. And if those two had actually got together, it'd have been something like you had never seen before. And at that time, the world wasn't ready. And also, too, if they listen to Martin's speeches, he was on a whole nother mission. Like, it cracks me up when people always talk about that, his speech, see his hand in hand, whatever, whatever. Yeah, I have a dream. Well, are they listening to that whole speech?
Yeah, I don't think they did. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're going to take a break and come back. We're going to talk Stacey Dash, Ebony Magazine versus Stacey Dash, and a couple of more topics. But we'll take a break and come back with more Black on Black Crime. We'll be back after this.
McCormick salutes the dinner makers, the ones who start with a pinch of something delicious and turn it into something even better, the recipe followers, and the ones who wing it, those creators of yumminess who know that natural herbs and spices are at the heart of the flavor that brings people together. Here's to you. Here's to homemade. There is nothing better. McCormick, America's favorite seasoning. Live deliciously.
Susie is dying to meet you.
Oh, steer clear of Kristen. She can't control herself around chocolate. She'll devour you.
Really?
I'd be a terrible friend if I didn't warn you. Gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us.
Anything for a friend.
Ooh, strong grip. Ow!
So, you want to grab a bite somewhere?
Here's fine.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
When we got married, we were suddenly a family of five.
And a seriously mixed bag of laundry. And we don't always have the time or the money to wash everyone's jeans and towels and gym clothes separately. So we wash everything in cold water with Tide. And it all comes out great. Even Sarah's funky new shorts.
Those are mine.
Really?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Throw it all in, because Tide cleans better, even in cold.
Sculpting the sleek body of the all-new Mercedes-Benz GLA took nearly 600 pounds of high-strength steel. Setting industry-leading safety standards took 20,800 crash simulations. And perfecting its engine took over 1.1 million miles of extreme driving. But this may be the most impressive number of all. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz GLA. Mercedes-Benz, the best for nothing.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good.
Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You know, on this program, we have Ebony Magazine versus actress Stacey Dash, Sony Pictures versus Black Hollywood. We're doing a movie review with Finesse. It's Top 5, starring Chris Rock and Rosario Dawson. Uncle Ruckus Watts. Again, we're making history on the program. We never have people in the program, you know, Stacey Dash and an Uncle Ruckus Watch at the same time. And Finesse, this is a first. Stacey Dash has made it.
Who's made it?
Stacey Dash. Yeah. So, Ebony Magazine.
My ex-wife.
Stacey Dash. Your ex-wife is... what'd you do to her, man? Dang. I mean, I'm have to blame
her. I was too black for her.
Because she went all the way. She went to the Fox News station to do a show over there. You know, I don't call Fox News Fox News anymore. Did I ever tell you that? I stopped that a while ago. Because they're not news,
just call them
and I
Fox.
Think it's confusing. Yeah, I think it's confusing because the name of that channel is the Fox News, and I think people think that there's news on there. So I call it the Fox News station and whatever program that they have on there that they suck and have on there, that's their business, but... Nevertheless, I digress. Now, before we go into the program, I just wanted to remind you, you can call in 909-265-9189. I want to say hey to everyone who's on the line. You can hit 1 on your line if you want to join in on the program. But the first topic that we want to talk about on Black Crime is Sony Pictures versus Black Hollywood. Now, we talked about on the last program Sony leaked emails, but they're still hitting out at Black Hollywood. So according to emails from executives, two-time Oscar winner Denzel Washington should not be cast in a film that will get played overseas because he's black. Now, the unbelievable email thread was sent soon after Sony released Washington's latest film, The Equalizer. Now, I know this has been a horrible week for Sony execs. Some of the emails was racist and distasteful and all of that. They talked about President Obama, Kevin Hart, Will and Jada Smith's kids, Jaden and Willow. They just went across the board. But now Radar Online obtained an email dated after the September release of Denzel Washington's film, The Equalizer, where the producer suggests that Sony should avoid casting black actors in an attempt to appeal to an international audience. Sony chairman Michael Lenton said, "No, I'm not saying The Equalizer should not have been made or that an African-American actor should not have been used. I personally think Denzel is the best actor of his generation. I believe that the international motion picture audience is racist, and general pictures with African-Americans in the lead do not play well overseas." Now, he also said that he's reliable at the domestic box office, safe, but not a huge success in years. Extra bets would have a large inherent upside if they're being made for the right price, but here isn't a large inherent upside if they use Denzel. Now, let me say this. For the record, The Equalizer had a $55 million budget, right? It grossed domestically $101.8 million, and worldwide it almost doubled. It became $191 million.
So much so that they're thinking of making a part two.
Right, but it don't make no money because it got black people in the lead.
Well, okay. You know, this is the thing, which we've known for years, but when people hear you say, oh, there's racism in Hollywood, oh, no, things have changed, and blase, blase. What those leaked messages mean, that there is racism, and this is how they think. And they think of us in two different ways, because the emails also said Idris Elba, they want him to be the first black James Bond. Well, people were like, well, see, we progress. No, because white people, and I'm talking about those in power, they think Idris comes from England. He's a different kind of black. He's not a black American. So they see us in two different ways. And if you look at, and you go back, and Spike Lee is ahead of his time, if you go back to Do the Right Thing, that scene where he's asking him about the pictures on the wall. Well, Michael Jordan is not black, you know. You know, there's acceptable blacks that they will accept, and Idris Elba is one of them. Now, what it should also show to black Americans and to black actors and actresses, now you need to think about, do your own distribution. We have enough people with enough money to get together and come up with their own studios. I love what Tyler Perry does. He has his own. He makes his own deals. He owns everything. He only gives up about 20%. We need to do the same thing. You know, when you have Stephen King and Michael Eisner, I think that's his name, they got together and they started their own studio. We should be doing the same thing. You know?
Okay, so, but on top of this, to their – and Sony, they do big budget films. But, again, Tyler Perry's deal is with Lionsgate primarily.
Right.
And that is a British company. So if you look at most of the movies, the stuff that, you know, Friday, which is New Line Cinema, those guys are, I don't know if they're Canadian, but a lot of the companies that the black folks have been doing business with are not the big threes, like the Paramount, you know, Sony has a lot of subsidiaries, TriStar, Columbia, all of them. So those guys are not doing movies with them anyway until they make a certain dollar amount, and then they try to cross them over. Kind of runs me into the Wedding Ringer that Kevin Hart is going to be in, but they're promoting that. Sony's promoting that under their Columbia tag because of all this mess with Sony. But they're saying it's behind their backs.
Yeah, exactly. So you're saying this, but Kevin is bringing you money. And then one of the things that Kevin don't go out and promote it on his social media like he does all the other ones to bring us in his money, we're going to get rid of him. Well, you know, again, you're saying stuff about us, and you're just using us. At what point are all the major players in Hollywood or in sports who have money, when are you guys going to get together and say, you know what, let's start our own? What's not invest? Because you're going to take your money and invest anyway, or you should be. Why would you not invest in us? Why would you not bet on black?
Right. on top of that, I just want to say this since I did bring up Columbia and TriStar Pictures. Do you know Screen Gems is doing the Red Ringer? They're distributing. They're a division of Sony as well.
Yeah.
So they have that on lock, whereas once they start getting races at the top, they have all these subsidiaries that they're just pushing that stuff down through. It doesn't really make sense to me, for one. And here's another number for you for the Sony people who we can't get any international numbers. 12 Years a Slave grossed over $131 million overseas at the box office alone, and that's almost three times what it made inside the United States. 12 Years a Slave made three times as much. Will Smith's movies is killing them overseas. But,
and for them to say that,
overseas.
You know, they don't want us to know that anyway. They don't want us to know that our culture is appreciated overseas because they want us to just be down here while they make the money. This is why I always tell people all the time, there's no reason for you not to be independent. Like I even tell film directors that run around looking for money, I always say to them, why not do your movie straight to DVD until you can get some money?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. People want to be want to release big and be big. I'd rather be steady and make money.
Right.
You know, than trying to go out here and make and try to be follow Hollywood and don't make the money. Or can't get the money.
Right. Well, they're cutting them back anyway. How long was it before Spike Lee got a movie that he got a budget more than $10 million on? I mean, I think everything Spike Lee, probably Malcolm.
Well, you know, Malcolm X, I think he had to have some of Hollywood invest.
No,
there's been a couple movies
yes.
like where they didn't give Spike money. And they damn sure weren't going to give Spike money after that Malcolm X and Do the Right Thing. They was like, man, you can't give him no money.
It's like he put some stuff out that that we just don't want out there. And you know the sad thing is, I think it was Air Bud or something that had like a $60 million budget. Like it was some dumb movie.
I don't even
like
have
that.
A $60 million budget, but I think there was an Air Bud 1, 2, and 3.
It sure was.
You know, you got to look at it, and then when you know this, and this is why I tell people also about this bootlegging. The movies are actually being bootlegged by the production companies. Because I've seen them. They still got the time code reading. You can tell because they haven't gone through the colorization process. But they're leaking these movies so that any minority project they don't want to put money behind, it can flop and they can say, hey, well, this is why we can't give movies because blacks don't support. Not that blacks don't support. We as some of us blacks, are killing us by bootlegging. If you're selling them or buying them, you're doing a disservice. Not only to the actors, but to anybody that's color that's worked on the set, be it the caterer, somebody's taking pictures, security, whatever, and then you're hurting us because those that are coming up after them are not going to be able to get jobs. They're not, and this is crazy. It's a domino effect.
All right, don't make me throw a flag on you, Finesse. You ain't supposed to be turning on the audience.
I tippy-toed.
I see you turn. You were on the line, boy. You almost went out of bounds.
I tippy-toed. I said, let me get this in real quick.
Because the truth is that the cereal companies do this, right? They make their brand cereals, and they make the black and white brands, and they kind of undercut themselves on purpose. I think the movie theaters undercut themselves on purpose when it comes to black movies, because there is no way, and I am saying no way in whatever heck you want to say, there's no way that they can distribute movies all across this country with bootlegs on a Friday before the movie comes out. Nobody has a distribution network that big. Black folks do
Other
not have no they
right.
don't have the duplicating machines and warehouses to say that I got it on Friday, the same time my cousin did in Houston. Like, you don't – that network's too big for bootlegging. So that bootlegging is coming from a really big spot.
It's coming from the source. I met a bootlegger
exactly.
who had 12 Years a Slave 2 weeks before it opened. It was, he had the time code. He had the final print. He had the time code
final
in the bottom.
Cut.
The final cut.
That's my point. That is not something that your neighborhood folks are knocking off. So – as I watch Sony talk noise about having black lead actors and actresses and saying they can't bring in money, they create the problem, and then they, you know, turn around and say, hey, you're not doing something. So,
correct.
Again, okay, so I've been watching the advertisement for Kevin Hart's new movie, speaking of Sony. And
which, by the way, they say is extremely funny.
Kevin Hart is extremely funny. But it is a really white
he
movie.
Stays
that's,
in his
that's
lane.
Like,
he stays in his lane.
I'm going to tippy-toe down the sidelines on this one. It is like Tyler Perry doing the Madea stuff and did it in a white neighborhood. Now, I don't know if that was funny or not, but I'm saying you are tilting right alongside of that, trying to introduce it to an audience to, for whatever reason. Kevin Hart is extremely funny, but that movie is going to be funny. But they're going to make a star out of somebody else that Kevin Hart is pretty much riding shotgun with.
Right, and,
again,
and that's what they do to us. We're made the co-star or the co-host or the co-whatever, while the other person, who's maybe not as big, they blow up because of the film or music or video or show.
Right. Now, this reminds me of, and I think we talked about this before, Stir Crazy, where Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder, and once they figured that black people at the same rate, you know, black people usually go to the movies, I think a third of all moviegoers are black. So they go at a higher rate than white folks. And once they got the same amount of black folks in theaters when they had black people as co-host or co-stars, they started using that model. So Gene Wilder and Eddie Murphy, and then, you know, the Nick Nolte film, 48 Hours, they brought Eddie Murphy in, and then they tried that with another movie, the Dan Aykroyd movie, Trading Places, Eddie Murphy. They'll seem like Eddie Murphy movies, right? They weren't. What was it, Independence Day was Jeff Goldblum's movie, but Goldblum's movie, but Will Smith, you know, so they started that model where they're bringing in the hot black guy to prop up mediocre acting on the white male side. So I don't know who this guy is who is in there with Kevin Hart, but the whole movie is about that guy trying to be cool and Kevin Hart is being the sidekick. And there's a problem with that. Although he's extremely funny, it's probably going to be funny.
Yeah.
I'd
he's
say.
I can't remember his name, but he's the whole cast is incredibly funny. For that. But again, you're absolutely right. They're going to use that. You know, it's not Kevin Hart. It's this guy we're going to push. It's his film. He's the lead. The guy is the lead actor.
Right.
And Kevin,
right.
Is,
Kevin
and
Hart
Kevin
is playing second under him.
Right. And see, here's the thing. Take Kevin Hart out. Who are you going to put in there? Let's see how the movie does.
I don't think it's going to do that great, but that's just me.
No.
Yeah, so every time I see that, that kind of disturbs me. Although, like I said, I think it's going to be funny, but there's something about that that just doesn't – it just, for some reason, doesn't sit right with me. So.
Well, it's always the case. And, you know, Kevin's not going to go in there and do a half-assed job because his name is on the line. And it's his brand. He's gonna and Kevin's great at marketing himself. But at the same time, you know, that's what they do. Now when there are exceptions, like Ride Along, it's Ice Cube and Kevin Hart. But their names, I believe their names were introduced together on the screen. But they weren't thinking that Ride Along was going did as good as it was gonna do.
Right. Right. And I think that was Cube's movie, right? It was Cube Vision.
Yeah,
I think Ice Cube
produced Cube through Cube Vision. But they had
they
were not really
they
behind
didn't
it.
Think it was gonna do anything.
Like they saw it and it blew up.
Right, because they can't
so
stop
much so
the
that there's
media.
A there's a part two. Yeah.
Now, here is where and excuse my French for those who are folks who bring who have their kids listening, but that's where Sony's exec called Kevin Hart a garden utensil or whatever, right? And what happened is he just said for asking for more money that he's a whore is what he said about him for requesting more money. And he's saying, you have to give me money to promote the film or I'm not promoting it. He doesn't have to promote it on his own social media platforms. It wasn't Kevin Hart who asked for it. It was his team that helps him market. So it's Kevin Hart's people. But if you can't call him names because they're making a business decision and saying, here's – it's like coming to black media saying, hey, just because you have a black person in the film, you should promote this. No, we shouldn't. You should spend money with black media to promote films, Selma. But anyway, I'm not going to say that. I want to commit a black-on-black crime.
I'm going to commit one. I'm going to commit one because it's amazing to me what we talked about. Selma is a movie that should be advertised – in every black publication newspaper that there is. I'm not saying don't advertise in the other media, but you definitely need to advertise in your black publications. That's support. We're going to support the movie. We're going to review the movie. Your message is for those. That's our. We are your target market. We have that target market. Don't talk to me about the numbers and stats and all that crap. Black media, we are for the black community. And so you're going to tell me that you're going to take your money and your budget and spend the majority of your money in a other newspaper that ain't your target market? That's crazy.
Right. That's crazy. And so, and who knows how to get that word? They seem like they're way too old to not get the stuff.
It's a condition thing. It's a condition thing, and they're saying, well, we've pumped too far. We got other people that read other publications. Yeah, we do. But you don't take a movie like Selma, and you don't say, we're going to make sure that black media gets this and they get some behind it, because you need us to get behind this film, point blank.
You know, exactly. And the problem is that when we don't get behind it, they'll come to us and say, hey, that's why they're not putting movies up, because we can't get behind movies like Selma.
Right.
I mean,
and then they calling me
for
saying,
me,
Finesse, can you do a review when the DVD comes out? Well, what happened? Why these people didn't come see the film? Don't get me started.
Hey, they should get you started, because, I'm kind of in Mike's way. They don't care about us. So I don't know how we should feel about the black folks who are actually hawking that bull on behalf of somebody else. If you want black people to turn out, advertise in black media.
That's right. I don't see white media saying we're going to advertise the sniper in a black publication. I don't see it.
Exactly. I don't remember seeing Air Bud in no black publication either.
That's
and
right.
I'm glad I didn't. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Finesse's review of Top 5 from Chris Rock and Rosario Dawson. So, should I say that right? Because that's my ex, Rosario. So once you get divorced, never mind. All right. And we're going to still talk about Stacey and her craziness. But we'll be back. We're going to take a break. Finesse walked away from her, so we'll take a break and come back.
I sure did. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
He sure is.
So I've come up with a family emergency plan.
Great. What is it?
It's difficult to talk about, so I'm not telling you.
How will we know what to do?
You won't.
I'm so glad I won't have to remember anything.
And me too. Thanks for this, sweetie.
Talk to your kids about who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information.
If I got to go to college, oh my goodness. I like discovering new things. You get to see what works for you and what doesn't. That helps you evolve as a person. You get to make like a supernova of skill or talent or whatever it is. I've always wanted to go to college. I just feel like that's my destiny. My name is Queen, and I am your dividend.
With over 200 lunch combos, there's something for everyone in the neighborhood, and they start at just $6.99.
$6.99? Consider my mind blown.
Boom.
Lunch combos at Applebee's starting at just $6.99. Now with new honey pepper flavor. See you tomorrow.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. Our call-in number is 909-265-9189 if you want to call in on the program. You know, today, our top programming note today is Ebony Magazine versus black actress, actress Stacey Dash, Sony Pictures versus black Hollywood. But first, before we go any farther, we're going into the movie review of Top 5 starring Chris Rock and Rosario Dawson with Finesse. Take it away, Finesse.
Hey, what's up, folks? Listening to Black on Black Crime Show. Listen, you know, I love movies. I love a good movie. And I only review movies that I feel the public would love to see. I don't get behind a lot of movies that are garbage. I refuse to review them. This top five by Chris Rock, and you can check out the article hopefully end of the week on Soul to Syracuse website under Indie Soul. But this Chris Rock is a genius. Is a genius in my mind. I don't know about anybody else. And I know I wrote the column and the review in a couple of other publications. And I started by saying that Chris Rock may be better than Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor, of course, opened the door for all these comedians even to get into the movies. But Chris Rock has taken it to a whole nother level with his movies, Death at a Funeral, which is a remake from a film over in Britain, 2 Days in New York, another one. And he always continues to get better and find a way to present a message and be creative. And top five, if you know, top five is your favorite MCs of all time. So you got to know the hip hop language and know some hip hop artists to even mention your top five. But what he did with top five, he was able to hit on a few things that we see in pop culture, how we treat each other as family and friends, the importance of friends. And for those who make it and leave their family and friends, talks about addiction, talks about being in this entertainment business and how you front for other people. It's so many different messages that he put into this, and it's nicely written, packaged tightly, and it's just one of the hilarious movies I've seen in 2014. It's brilliant, brilliant. Rosario Dawson does a fantastic job. There are so many great scenes that it's hard to just pick one, but I'll give you two. Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld in the movie Dropping It Like It's Hot, and he gives his top five. I can't give it away. You got to go see it. But then DMX steals the scene in the movie. Chris Rock able to get these people to open up, be themselves truthfully on film, to make fun of themselves on film. How he got DMX to do this part is beyond me. And I noticed that they now are running the trailer with DMX in it, because before they weren't. But it is the most hilarious truth-telling scene for DMX. It has those moments where it makes you think, we as people, how we look up to these stars, how these stars treat their fans. I mean, it's just excellent. And it's a love story. It's a great love story. One of my favorite films of all time. I'm telling you folks now, support Chris Rock, support Top 5. I guarantee you will love it. Check it out, Indie Soul, Finesse Steps.
Thanks, Finesse. I want to remind you that Top 5 stars Rosario Dawson, J.B. Smooth, Cedric the Entertainer, Kevin Hart, Tracy Morgan, Gabriel Union, Sherry Shepherd, Leslie Jones, Jay Farrell, Adam Sandler's in there, Whoopi Goldberg appears. All of them. It started December 12th, so it's out in theaters now. Make sure you go check it out. It's Top 5. And before we go any farther, you know, we're gonna give you a clip of Chris Rock talking about race. I thought it was important that we should give some information. So our break for this particular segment is going to be about race and Chris Rock. So sit back and relax. We're going to come back with more Black on Black Crime after this.
When I worked at Red Lobster, when I worked at, you know, Odd Lot or Alexander's or, you know, the Daily News, I wasn't working my way through stand-up. It wasn't like, that was my life. It wasn't like a kid working his way through school and they know, okay, when I get out of school, it'll be good. That was my life. If I work at UPS, I'll be really lucky. The day it clicked to me, I went to see a comedian at a Radio City Music Hall. A big famous comedian at the time. As we're leaving, my brother goes, "You're that good. You're as good as that guy." And it didn't dawn on me that I could be. I was so happy to be out of Bed-Stuy. You know what I mean? I was so happy to not be a busboy anymore. I didn't think, you know, I could play Madison Square Garden or any of that stuff. I'm fortunate to come up in the time I've come up in. I've been able to reap the rewards of not only my work, but Richard Pryor's work, Bill Cosby's work, Eddie Murphy's work. I have a picture in one of my offices of Cosby, like a young Cosby with like a fedora and a cigar, like as cool as they come. And if you actually read the Richard Pryor book, Pryor Convictions, every time Cosby shows up in the book, he's actually the coolest guy in the Richard Pryor book. My daughter Lola goes to sleep with a little Bill doll. That's so cool, man. Like, how much I love Cosby, and just like, actually both my daughters sleep with little Bills. Eddie Murphy revolutionized acting. No one says that, but he really did. I just remember the way black guys used to act before 48 Hours. And there was a sidekick way of acting that Murphy didn't incorporate. In Beverly Hills Cop, it was just so effortless. And it's almost not acting, you know what I mean? Before that, black men would, you know, it's very earnest and, you know, I'm representing my race. And Murph kind of just made it, hey, I'm Axel, here's my badge, what's going on? The thing that black culture is missing, it's not the comedian thing. Somebody will be that guy. The real question is, when are one of these black girls going to get their Streisand on? It's like, yo, I'm really about to set it off. I'm writing a movie. I'm directing a movie. I'm starring a movie. I can't wait to meet her. I can't wait to work with her. You know, I can't wait till I meet the female, you know, Tyler Perry. That's going to be the next level. In my neighborhood, there's like 3-4 black people in my neighborhood in Alpine. And, okay, it's me, Gary Sheffield, Mary J. Blige, Patrick Ewing. Hall of Famer, greatest R&B singer of our time, decent comedian. Who lives to me? What's the white man next to me? He's a dentist. He didn't invent anything. He's just a dentist. That's what America is. My dad used to say this. You can't beat white people at anything. Never. But you can knock them out. Like, if you have 6 and the white guy has 5, he wins. If you're black, you can't let it go to the judge's decision. Because you're going to lose, no matter how bad you beat this man up. You know, Larry Holmes, Jerry Cooney, is the perfect example of life. Larry Holmes beats the shit out of this guy for 11 rounds. He knocks him out in the 11th round. They had to stop the fight. The man is bloody. He's been beaten the whole fight. They go to the judge's scorecards. Larry Holmes is losing the fight. If he didn't knock him out, he would have lost the title. And that is essentially the black experience. You're always black. There's always going to kind of be an overreaction one way or the other regarding your presence, be it good or bad. Just when you let Jackie Robinson in baseball, that doesn't mean it's equal. Baseball statistically isn't equal almost until the 70s. And, you know, and why do I say the 70s? Because that's when you started to see bad black baseball players. The true equality is the equality to, like, the white man. That's really Martin Luther King's dream coming true. His guys suck it. I watched the Oscars. Okay, these are the people that made the good movies. What about the people that made the bad movies? That's most of the industry. I want to be like that. Not that I want to be bad, but I want the license to be bad. Come back and learn.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. That was Chris Rock. Finesse, what do you... You know, I couldn't stop listening to that because it shows me how smart Chris Rock is, not just as a comedian, but how astute he is in his observation. You know, we all know that from the jokes, but, you know, you can't take anything away from Chris Rock for that.
No, I think that's what makes Chris Rock special. Like I said, Richard Pryor, of course. That doesn't, you know, people say you know, Richard Pryor's Tosh is it. No, because other people come up along, they study, they learn, they get better. You can always be better than the teacher. You can always be better than the teacher, because that's why the teacher is teaching you, so that you can become better. And I think Chris took it to another level. I think that's why I love Chris Rock, because he does a kind of comedy where it's in your face, but it's intelligent, and it makes sense. He gets you to think. I like the same with Dave Chappelle. When I look at George Lopez, because anybody could get up there and do some of the comedy that other people do, but to make you think and then put it in such a way, that's the beauty of Top Five. The kind of stuff that he addresses in Top Five, and it seems he's got the character, he's got his cameo appearances, these other actors and actresses to come in and be funny about something that happened to them. You know, Adam Sandler was in there. He was hilarious. You know, and then for Chris to do that, he wrote and directed this play. I mean, movie.
Yeah.
And he's brilliant, man. He's just a brilliant dude.
In an interview, he said that he wrote most of it on a set of Grown Ups 2 in 2012. And he said, I was number 4 on the call sheet. So he said, I was like James Harden when he was at OKC. He said, I came off the bench, quick scoring. I thought I could just start. I had to create my own starting vehicle. And when you're doing big budget movies, you're 4th on the call sheet and you've got a lot of free time. So he ended up writing his movie from being 4th on the call sheet. I'm just thinking we should do our top 5, Finesse. So every show, we're just going to throw out a topic and we give them top 5. So in honor of top 5, the movie.
I got my top 5.
What do we tell me what we do the top 5 on first?
Well, since top 5, and they was talking about MCs, your top 5 MCs. So you got to give me your top 5 MCs. Yeah, you want me to go first? I can go first. I got my top 5. I don't know if you have your top 5.
I want you to go first. Go ahead.
Okay, my top 5, and I'm going from 1 to 5. All right, so it's Rakim, KRS-One, Guru, Big Daddy Kane, and then Will Smith.
Man. All right, now see, and of course, you know we're going to overlap in this because we come from the same space. So I'm going to also go with Rakim. And I can't help but put KRS-One next. And then I'll have to say Slick Rick. So I'm going to put him in there, 4th or 5th. He's going to be there. And I like Ice Cube's writing. And I like Tupac's writing. So that was 5. But mine is jumbled because I didn't have enough time to think about it. But I would have to go with them right off the bat. But you're right. Will Smith does a great job writing as well. I love people who can actually.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, you know, I got into this conversation because people was like, Will Smith. I said, you guys think, you know.
Oh, yeah, don't sleep on Will Smith.
When you rhyme and it's all about cussing, it's about the lyrics. And when you go back and you listen to the brand new funk and then you watch that live performance,
he
is a beast. He is a beast. Now my other asterisk mark next to the 5, I got Tretch, and I got Heavy D.
Oh yeah, I don't even know why I didn't put Heavy D in my top 5. Heavy D lyrically, Heavy D has a gift that nobody can really touch him in between those spaces.
These guys each have their own individual flow and style, and they could battle. And that's part of the lore of all of those guys, and that's why everybody's top 5 is different. Because you name Cube, you name Slick Rick, and I like, I didn't even have them in my top 5. I don't even think they're in my top 10.
Also, I have to tell you that Shaq D has some lyrics too, so I have a lot of respect. He'll get honorable mention in there, but his is smart. So when you talk about people who put smart lyrics down, who know what words they're using while they're using them, Shaq G has to be in there. So there has to be a smart top 5 as well. Yeah, listen to Black on Black Crime. I had to take a deep breath because you know where we're going on this, our main topic. Ebony versus Stacey Dash. Now, here's what happened. Ebony Magazine compiled its top trending black actresses of 2014, and Stacey Dash was kind of called out for the wrong reason. So the magazine wrote that her conservative, clueless political slant sparked controversy time after time, making her notorious trending for all the wrong reasons. So that's what they said about Stacey Dash. Now, I'm going to ask you, Finesse, is that a black-on-black crime that they said that she is sparking controversy or she's popular for the wrong reasons? It's
well, you know what?
Right now, so.
I love Ebony, but it is a black-on-black crime because we can't get mad if somebody has other different political views or thoughts. That's something we have to – that's your right to do that. If they wanted to come out and it was a different article, they were talking about people who are buffoonish or whatever, that's a whole different thing. We
that's
talk
different.
About that.
That's different. We know that's true.
But you're talking you're talking about somebody, if that's how she really feels and that's her thoughts, I see absolutely nothing wrong with it because she's not the only one that's black that has different thoughts. And I think about Get on the Bus. Remember the brother they kicked off the bus because he was a black Republican? They kicked him off
right.
the bus.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just can't do that, you know. I tell anybody, if you don't like Stacey Dash, stop watching Fox. Why are y'all watching Fox and giving her airtime?
I don't watch Fox at all. Mm-hmm. I don't pay her any attention. It's kind of my twist, and I know I'm bringing up Cosby, but it's kind of my twist on Cosby because I could have easily, during Black on Black Crime, said, Cosby, when you were telling the speech about what black folks should be doing, you played that out in the white media. But when it came to them slandering your name, you came to black media telling us to be fair and be conscious. So I could have easily called him out for doing that, but then that would have been a black-on-black crime, although I just did say that. But you know, if you listen to the show, that I still don't agree with the public lynching of Bill Cosby because it is about money. But in Stacey Dash's, we don't know what her motivation is. So on Fox News station, the show she's on, Outnumbered, Dash spoke to her co-host about what Ebony wrote. And at one point, she stated, I'm from the South Bronx, so bring it. I don't know what that means. Like, Stacey Dash is not fighting anybody, but I guess she's just trying to say that she has tough skin or something. But during a panel discussion on the high incidences of American families with children receiving government aid, Stacey Dash said, I'm a believer in the American dream, but as long as we're told where to live and what to eat and what you have to wear and where to go to school, you'll never know the true meaning of the expression and the power and value of self-achievement. She said, you'll never know what it is. And she said, you can educate them, you support them, and you give them a certain amount of time, and then you just give up on them.
Mm-hmm. That's you do know Stacey liked to get high, right?
I can tell. I didn't know that, but I knew she did something. Although, I have to say that was a black-on-black crime from Ebony, but at the same time, I understand. So I'm going to give Ebony a pass on their black-on-black crime, a justified black-on-black crime, just because just recently on the police killings, here's what Stacey Dash said over the last couple of days. She said that Sharpton and de Blasio were responsible for the jihad against the police. These murders are a natural result of pound jihad on cops, pointed out Al Sharpton and de Blasio. They should be held accountable, is what she said on Twitter.
All I know is she likes to get high, because why would anybody listen to her is beyond me.
I could have almost defended you, Stacey, but just a little too – she just goes a little too far. And I don't know what it is about Fox News that make black people who are on there feel like they've been smoking, but Stacey obviously has a problem.
Well,
this
you know, I almost committed a black-on-black crime. I ain't going to tell you what I was going to say.
You've already kind of gave her a point, but she's about to get too taken away from her. That's her fault.
I'll give her that, but when it comes to Fox, I know, you know, any of these networks are going to try to get some minority to fit their agenda to be so they can say, see, we got one. We got one. And Stacey's just it. But I'm out because I don't know if Stacey is doing this for the fame or for the money. I don't get her. And I know Stacey's not a dummy, not by any stretch of the imagination. She's not. So I don't know if she's playing one. I don't get it, and I'm still out to lunch. But if she is true, like I said, it's your right. We don't have to support that. Just like, you know, if somebody's a Republican and they black, they don't have to report a black Democrat's point of view either.
Although she is acting silly and crazy and like a stepchild, we will take her back like we always do. Because black people have compassion in them. So technically, we're going to make her sit in the corner. But regardless, we still kind of respect that to some degree that Stacey is a little crazy. When she's not flavor of the day and the president's not black,
yeah.
They're not going
to be Stacey. What they always do to us, right? We already know that. She can act cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and do all the other stuff and say what she want to say. At the end of the day, they always come back. What
now,
they say, you limp over, but you walk back.
You listen to Black on Black Crime. We're talking about Ebony Magazine versus Stacey Dash, Sony Pictures versus Black Hollywood, and Finesse reviewed the movie Top 5 with Chris Rock, Rosario Dawson.
Check
and
your ticket
you
when
have
you go.
Definitely check your tickets. We need to say that. Check your tickets for that movie when you go. Now, if you need to check this out in the archives, if you didn't hear it or you want to tell a friend, you know, you can always go to espriradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. Check out our shows in the archives. But we're going to go to our Uncle Ruckus watch. Here's her theme song.
I am the stone that the builder refused. I am the visual, the inspiration that made ladies.
You know we had to bring up the Ruckus Watch before.
Stay smart that lights the dark so that you can know your left from your right. I am the ballad in your box, the bullet in the gun, the inner glow that let you know to call your brother son. The story that just begun, the promise of what's to come, and I'ma remain a soldier to the war.
Yeah, we definitely can style without theme song, because Uncle Ruckus is in the building. Just a separate category. Uncle Ruckus Watts, Stacey Dash, said that she's been disavowed by her family over politics. So in a recent interview with Edit Magazine, she said she hasn't spoken to her family. Stacey Dash said it's her support for the Republican Party during the first term of the nation's first black president that's caused many of her fans and family to look at her differently. So she said, my family hasn't spoken to me. My cousin Damon Dash and my brother Darian, who's the CEO of DME, were role models to me because they're great capitalists. Now they're not really talking because they're the ones who told me to keep my mouth shut. She just threw them under the bridge. That's a black-on-black crime. She said, when I get hateful tweets, I just retweet them. And then my fans pile on and attack the haters while I sit back. She said they felt that I should do certain things because I'm black. Certain friends don't speak to me anymore either. But you know what? I'm in the street. I get approached by so many people of every color saying, thank you so much for standing up and being so brave. She said, I thought it was time to have a black president and that would unite us in such a profound way, but as a country, I don't think we've been so divided since the Civil Rights Movement. Oh. That was Uncle Ruckus Watch for Stacey Dash. Go ahead, Finesse.
Again, she's free to say and feel whatever she wants to say. I'm not going to take that or knock her for it. But when she says I hate when people who are of color, especially women, when they try to act as if color, the color issue doesn't exist, and you live in this country. You've seen the stuff that happens to the people around you. You've got nephews, you've got brothers, you've got uncles, and you've seen what happens. So to deny that I'm surprised in this time and era that race is an issue, you got to be smoking crack or something, because race is always going to be an issue. It's always going to be an issue because, one, people don't know our history, so it's always going to be an issue because as people choose to understand our history, choose to want to be on the edge of making a change, a difference, they're going to learn about us as a people. They're going to learn about Asians. They're going to learn about Latinos because we've all contributed to the society, and there's a lot of stuff that people don't know. So race is always going to be a discussion. It always will be. It's never going away. Now, how deep it will go depends on us. How positive it will go depends on us. But race is always going to be an issue. And I hate when people, especially if you have a media platform, and you say some dumbness that come out of your mouth like that.
You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Now, I want to go into some of the news, world news and entertainment, because I forgot to ask you about this. The VH1 world premiere of the first episode of Sorority
oh,
Sisters,
Lord.
Created by
Lord.
Mona Scott Young,
Lord.
Who is responsible for Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. The show follows the lives of 9 sorority sisters from several historically black sororities. There's a move-on petition to stop the airing of that show, and the petition has collected over 53,000 signatures. I'm going to let you go first to tell me about this sorority sister stuff.
Well, you know, like I always say, Mona Scott Young is free to do whatever shows she want to do. She's feel free to do them. The problem I have with this, and I put this on my Facebook, so these sororities that said, hey, you can't wear the Greek letters for the protest, but you allow them to represent the Greek and culture life for this ratchet, that's the word these young people use, ratchet TV show, there's a problem. I watched the first episode because I had to. I refused to review it. That show, there is no way. They had to find the ghettoest chicks from those sororities.
How did they find them? Who? I don't know what chapters they're from, but again, I've never seen college women act like that, educated women.
These are supposedly, they just graduated or some have been graduated for a while. And they have a white sorority, and there's been white people that have been in black fraternities and sororities.
Yeah, but not more ghetto than the black people.
Exactly, and that's what got me. So now, not only is she ruining the Greek name, the Greek's name, she has the ghettos, and then you bring on a ghetto white chick. Where were these people with the petition beforehand? Because I signed a petition last year. These same people didn't say nothing. Oh, they have a right to it. Now everyone's seen it. Now I want to start a petition. It's too late because the ratings, if the ratings come back and they're good, it's a done deal.
Yeah, they're done.
Any kind of whatever, they're done. They are done. They are going to keep producing this show. Now, sororities, I want to see what you do. And fraternities, you need to put pressure on the sororities to say, hey, you can't let anybody else go off of this show.
Wait,
they're not even
sticking
to what the sororities represent.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say this in a respectful way because I have a lot of relatives that are AKA and Deltas. But you know how bougie it is to get into some of those fraternities on some of those campuses? And for them to have a ghetto white chick in there who's mocking black people is unheard of.
The chick
now,
said
they
on
can't
the
even
show,
have black people acting black on there. Go ahead.
Listen, for the white chick to be on the show saying, I know what it's like. How what black people go through, because what I go through being in a white sorority, I wanted to punch the TV screen. I was like, yo. She kept saying it. I was like, when is somebody going to check her? And they never did.
Right. Wait a minute. On that note, let's go to the phone line. Welcome to Black on Black Crime.
Hey, this is Mr. Elias, Jerome.
Oh, my God. What's up, bro?
What's going on, man? I wanted to get in when you were talking about Stacey Dash, too, and
okay.
Why she is cool.
You can start with Stacey Dash.
She is cool. She's coolest. And did you ever watch the episode of Chappelle's Show when they had the race trade? I'd like to trade Stacey Dash to somebody else, man.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I would really like to trade her, man, because she's coolest. She is, hey, man, I look at her sometimes, man. And I just wonder where you come up with some of this stuff at, man. She's very cool. And I got a partner on Facebook. He's the same way. And he'll put up stuff. And it's like, dude, are you kidding me? Because he put up the instance where Bill O'Reilly and Russell Simmons were talking. And he's like, yeah, Bill O'Reilly handed Russell Simmons his hat. I said, no, he didn't. He just wouldn't let him talk. That's what Bill O'Reilly does. He over talks.
That's all that was.
Mm-hmm. So, man, that's true.
All right.
Yep.
LES, I'm going to make a deal with you. You and I are finesse, and we're going to bring one more person in, and we're going to create a black delegation for our race trades. So whatever on the show, somebody make Uncle Ruckus watch on this show. We're going to debate whether we need to trade them. Finesse gave us his top 5 earlier this show, but we're going to create a top 5 just in case we need to make some trades.
Okay.
I want to hear your thoughts on the sorority girls.
Oh, my God, man. Being a fraternity brother, man, I've signed a petition. I thought that was the worst show in the world, man. Why would you even do that to your sorority? Why would you do that to your Greek organization, man? That was just, oh, my God, that was horrible. I couldn't believe it.
Where are the Greek organizations on this? Why are they not saying anything?
We're speaking out against it, man. We've signed a petition. If you look at it, five sponsors have dropped out of back in the show. So it's making headway. It's just they haven't put it off the air yet. They need to. That show is horrible. Just horrible.
Yeah, this is the new thing now. We look at this and say, there's so many people I met, they're like, oh, I want to get in a reality show because I can make this money. They'll sell themselves out. We can't have that. And I signed a petition last year. When we heard about it, we started the petition. We said, we got to stop this now. But we couldn't get a lot of people to sign it. They was like, well, let's wait and see. And there were people that were arguing on Facebook, well, Mona could do what she wanted to do. And she can. But there's some things that's sacred. If she wanted to come up with Love & Hip Hop New Orleans or Milwaukee, I'm all for it. But you don't touch the sororities and fraternities. That's out.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're 100% right.
These shows, man, I'm not going to front. I watch them. One, I have to review them. I have to know what's going on since I do entertainment. But I watch them because it's brainless. At the same time, I watch them like, yo, this can't be happening. But that sorority crap, I watched the first episode three times because I'm like, I was hoping every time it would be something different. I was hoping someone would slap that white girl and say, you being a sorority is not the same as being black. Why did not somebody do that?
On black crime, there's no flag there. Like, there's no, I know people are going to complain. You can send your comments to comments@solarsyracuse.com, and we will delete them over there.
I like to remind people how we roll on this show. Everybody on that show need to be slapped. The black people, because you ain't checked this girl, and the white girl need to be checked, too. It's the same as being, are you kidding me? They're not killing people in the street for being a white sorority person.
Yeah, because, you know, the problem is that they're letting her do that. I'm just saying that they are sitting there letting that girl act crazy, like it's okay. So,
and that's the part that's wrong. If you were going to sell out your sorority sisters and y'all are black, okay, that's wrong. Okay, but then you have a white person. The state of stuff that she said last week, she was supposed to get checked. She was supposed to get her hair pulled. They were supposed to bring in all the bodyguards to pull anybody off because she was getting done in. They let this girl get away and say some of the stuff that she was saying. That's foul. And while we at it, Q-Tip checked the hell out of Iggy Azalea on social media, and she all hurting her feelings. Listen, sweetheart, if you want to be in hip-hop, it's a culture. Understand the culture. Get your ass involved in some of the things that's going on and stop acting like you entitled to the hip-hop throne. If I ever find her, it's going to be a wrap. And T.I. for defending her, that's a black-on-black crime.
Okay, now... All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You came on the wrong show, Elias. We're usually a little comedy, and we throw flags on Finesse when Finesse show out. But technically, today ain't that day. Like, we all show out when it comes down to it.
Well, I'm with him when he's right, man, and he's 100% right, man. I mean, I looked at the View with Whoopi, and when Rosie O'Donnell was trying to tell her she knew what our plan was, you would never know what our plan is. That's like me saying, I know what it's like to be a woman. No, I've never been a woman. You've never been black. Because you got a black child does not mean you know what my plan is like. You will never know what my plan is like.
Right. I don't see them sitting, pulling over gay people in the car, sitting them on the curbs, and then hitting them with the billy clubs and shooting them. I don't see that.
Right.
So don't compare.
Oh, wait.
Don't compare your flight to what we go through. You can't do that. You can't.
Well, do that.
She ain't the one. Her child gonna be the one they call the N-word. Her child the one they gonna be getting picked on. That child is the one they gonna be bothered by police and anybody else because of the color of her skin. Not her. And I don't care if she named the child Rosie O'Donnell Jr. That child is gonna go through some mess.
That's hilarious. Because you can't defer being black. It just does not work. So you can't say they're going to treat me some kind of way because you're that person's friend, because you're rich. I think we just heard Chris Rock in his statement about that. White folks are not over that. So in Rosie O'Donnell's case, I'm glad they had that fight on the air because that's very stereotypical to think somebody just got choked out, put he probably did something, we should move on. White folks tell us stuff like that. When you don't have a gun in your hand and a policeman chokes you out, since he has all the power, his butt needs to go to jail, like Dick Cheney needs to be prosecuted for war crimes. You know what I mean? Like, man, like we don't have – there is no double standard in this. If white folks can make you believe that the law said that we can torture when you know you can't torture and you actually believe that, you are a damn fool. That is just hilarious to me. I'm sorry. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Rhyme. Again, send your notes, messages to comments at Black on Black Rhyme. We will delete all of your comments that we don't like over there. We don't really care. And on that note, since Elias is here, have you ever heard of this game that we play called Black White?
No, I've never heard of it, man.
All right. Finesse, you down to play a quick game of Black or White?
Yeah, I always lose. I always get it wrong, but I'm down.
Okay, so here's how this goes. We do a game of Black or White just to kind of get rid of stereotypes, right? Because every time you hear news stories, the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear a certain story, you think of black folks opposed to white folks.
Right.
And so, you know, throughout the week, sometimes we collect some stories and we play a game. This is for our commissioner, Kathleen. She's going to be mad because she doesn't like when we play black or white when she's not here. So I'm going to tell you some news stories and you need to tell me. I'm going to
black or white.
Right. All right. So
I'm with you, brother.
Here we go. All right. So Finesse, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So we had to queue up black or white. All right. So, Here's black and white. There's a story out of Carmel, Indiana. Now, the woman's name is Lisa Kelly. She owns Indie Cuddles, which offers 30-minute hugs worth, like 30 minutes worth of hugs, right? $35, $60 for an hour, $90 for 90 minutes. Is Lisa black or white? Now, she's going around random people. You could just pay her. She's saying, hey, she includes avoiding, you know, bathing suit area stuff, like she ain't wearing no bathing suit. For her safety, she has a third party that she contacts before she comes to your house. But she will lay in the bed with you. She says she has carries a non-lethal weapon during her encounter. Now, is Lisa black or white? She going to people's house randomly for hugs. Finesse, you up first. Is Lisa Kelly
black? I think she white, and it sounds like a back page ad. She's white.
I don't know. All right, Elias, is Lisa black or white?
Knowing that Carmel, Indiana is mostly white folks, I'm going to say she's white.
All right.
I'm going to say she's white.
All right. So both of you are right. Lisa is white. Black folks won't randomly give you no hug. I don't care how much money you pay. They don't want
to hug. And ain't no black man going to lay in no bed with no black girl talking about we just going to hug and cuddle. That ain't happening.
Okay, all right. I'm about to throw a flag on you, boy. All right. Now, a father of a 3-year-old girl abandoned in the Los Angeles shopping mall contacted police to get his daughter back. Now, he told the police 24 hours later, after he said he didn't know his daughter, Audrey, was missing, he dropped her off in the car seat at the Grove Shopping Center in Los Angeles. No one came to pick her up, and the police called them, and he said, oh, my bad, I left her. So I'm going to say, a 3-year-old, mind you, Elias, you're the guest, you go first. Was that guy black or white because they're about to return the baby?
Oh, hell, he's white then. If you just said they were going to return the baby, he's white. He's white.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that one. All right, Finesse, 3-year-old.
You know what? I'm gonna go out on a limb. I think it was a black who was high, and he just didn't know what he was doing.
Oh, God. All right, first of all, okay, I didn't say this. He left the baby for 24 hours. He called them back 24 hours because he didn't know the baby was missing. You going to stick with that? You still black?
I'm going to stick with that because it sounded like he was at the strip club.
With the strip. All right. So Child and Family Services said that they have yet to decide whether to hand the baby back over to the father. Both of you, okay, one was right and one was wrong. And I'm going to say, Finesse, you're wrong about that whole strip club thing because that kid was white. Now, I have one more.
They weren't going to get that. If that was a black kid, they had on that kid. If that white kid, they'd be like, no. We understand if you get that. We understand. No problem.
Wait a minute. First of all, not only would they have not given them back, they would have put him in jail. You left a 3-year-old for 24 hours?
Right. Yeah. All he came is, oh, my bad. I left my kid. My bad.
He said he didn't know.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So here,
well,
here we go.
It wasn't weed. It was meth he was smoking in.
Okay, we can live with that. That probably was true. All right, now, a former suburban Chicago high school teacher who admitted to having inappropriate sexual relations with a male student last fall said that she had sexual contact but no intercourse. Now, the victims were between 13 and 17, and they exchanged inappropriate photos. Now, the teacher has to make a $500 donation to a child advocacy center and perform 150 hours of community service. Is she black or white, Vanessa?
I believe I remember this story. I think she was black.
Okay, Chicago suburb. All right. How about Elias, black or white?
Elias is laughing. She's black. She'd be white. She'd be right in jail. This woman is white. White people go to jail, man. White people don't go to jail, man.
They send the white women to jail. The black women in a black community, they just get fined.
No, this woman she had to do a $500 donation. It wasn't even a fine. It was named in a donation.
Was she black or white?
She was white. It reminded me of Coming to America when she put the chicken bones and he said it's a donation. It's a donation, not the trash.
Yeah.
All right. So.
And she was in Chicago? Man,
she was in Chicago.
Once you go black, you never go back. You know she's at black school.
Now, the kids who she slept with, they were black. That's what the trick was. They were black wife.
Her husband is mad. You cheated on me with four black men?
Where were all these teachers at when I was in school? That's all I want to know.
I'm telling you.
Hey.
And I wouldn't be telling nobody. I'd be with the teacher every day.
Nobody.
All right. See, I have one more. Now this one. All right. I'm going to stop the music for this one. Because this one, an Illinois police officer, because I know we're going to have to run on this one. An Illinois police officer who is currently under investigation for allegedly going outside of his jurisdiction using an emergency lights to pull over a school bus because his teenage son forgot his lunch. So I want to go with Elias. Was that fool black or white? The police officer.
He was white, man.
All right.
Ain't no black police officer going to take his son lunch. He'd just be hungry.
So wait, that's a flag. You can't say that he's black because he wouldn't have neglected his kid. All right.
No,
so.
I know. You left your what? Man, I guess you ain't going to eat today. I got stuff to do.
Okay, well, let me give you a little bit more detail. Okay, here's what happened. So he was driving a black Charger. It was unmarked at the time. He pulled the bus over about 9 miles from the high school. You still want to stick with that?
Wow.
Yeah, I still want to stick with that.
You say he's black?
No. No, he white. Ain't no black man going to do that. No.
Elias, you went with what? That he was white?
I went with he was white. I went with he was white. Now, the white people, I'm not going to say black person didn't do that, but hey, man, look. White people do
man,
that.
Man, ain't
now.
No
they,
black
they
people.
Like
ain't
entitled.
No black.
They feel like they're entitled to a lot of stuff.
You, you know your mama say if you forget that lunch, one of your lunch, you just out of luck. We all been through that.
Oh, man. All right. Fine. He was still white, though. He did. It was 9 miles away from the high school. And he pulled over the bus. And the bus driver, I should have asked if he was black or white, because he's the one who called the police over the incident. Because he was scared because he got pulled over in the bus. And he was like, oh, here's your lunch. All right, so he was white.
He snitched on that was a black bus driver. He snitched on that. White people don't get nervous for getting pulled over.
Yeah, they
you're
don't.
Wrong,
why
like, hey,
you pull
doing?
Me over?
Yeah. Black man worried about
that.
Why are they pulling me over?
Right.
That though. You listen to Black on Black Crime. With Elias hanging out today in Finesse, we will see you again next week while these two tear up. Because the guy was white, Finesse. I just want to stress that.
I said white. I did get that one right. But I know that bus driver was black. Mm-mm. All day.
Elias, you can't hear this. Don't listen to this. He is wrong for that.
Hey, and I can tell you. You tell the truth. We don't want to get nothing. We get pulled over. White people like,
and right.
How to get pulled over? No. I know how to get pulled over. Why are you pulling me over? I was only doing 90 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. Why? Mm-hmm. That's why.
I can tell you, if those kids
black
on the bus,
people, they probably ain't had a seatbelt on. He probably was listening to music and talking on the cell phone. They got nervous. That's what you get.
What?
All right, I should be laughing at Finesse. We will see you again next week. There you have it. Finesse will go tear up. Next week, hey, again, we need to get together, LES, because we are definitely going to have our black delegation to figure out who we need to trade Station Dash for. Oh, and
I'm going with that one, man.
Don Lemon, too, I won't forget.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to take her in North Korea.